ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 6 Chapter 3, entitled, Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers. Verse number 31. Tasma Sankirtanam Vishnor
Tasma Sankirtanam Vishnor
Jagan Mangalam Hasam
Jagan Mangalam Hasam
Mahatamavi Kauravya
Mahatamavi Kauravya
Vikaikantika Nishkritam तस्मात् संकीर्तनं विष्णो
तस्मात् संकीर्तनं विष्णो
जगन्मंगलं हसाम
जगन्मंगलं हसाम
महतामपि कौरव्या
महतामपि कौरव्या
विद्यैकान्तिकनिष्कृतं
विद्यैकान्तिकनिष्कृतं
तस्मात् संकीर्तनं विष्णो
तस्मात् संकीर्तनं विष्णो
जगन्मंगलं हसाम महतामपि कौरव्या
महतामपि कौरव्या
विद्यैकान्तिकनिष्कृतं
विद्यैकान्तिकनिष्कृतं
वर्ड टू ट्रांसलेशन तस्मात्
तस्मात्
देयरफॉर संकीर्तनम्
संकीर्तनम्
द कॉन्ग्रीगेशनल चैंटिंग ऑफ द होली नेम
द कॉन्ग्रीगेशनल चैंटिंग ऑफ द होली नेम
Vishnoha,
Vishnu
of Lord Vishnu.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Jagat Mangalam.
Jagat Mangalam.
The most auspicious performance.
The most auspicious performance.
Within this material world.
Within this material world.
Amhasam.
Amhasam.
For sinful activities.
For sinful activities.
Mahatam Api.
Mahatam Api.
Even though very great.
Even
though very great.
Kauravya.
Or descendant of the Kuru family.
Or descendant of the Kuru family.
Vidhi.
Vidhi.
Understand.
Understand.
Aikantika.
Aikantika.
The ultimate.
The ultimate.
Nishkritam.
Nishkritam.
Atonement.
Atonement.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, My dear king, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtana movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. Purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki We should note that although Ajamu chanted the name of Narayana imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be very careful to be free from all sins and never think of contracting sinful activities by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If by chance a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him. But one should not intentionally perform sinful acts. Om Jnanatimiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamanyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganarakunadhanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಕೋಪೇಶ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಭೂತೈರ್ಮಹಾಧರ್ಯ ಇಮಾ ಪುರೋ ವಿಭೂ ನಿರ್ಮಾಯ ಶೇತೆ ಯದಮೂಷ ಪುರುಷ ಭುಂಕ್ತೆ ಗುಣಾ ಷೋಡಶ ಷೋಡಶಾತ್ಮಕ ಸೋನಂ ಕೃಷೀಷ್ಟ ಭಗವಾನ್ ವಚಾಂಸಿ ಮೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ.
ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫೈಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಹೋಲಿ ನೇಮ್ ಬೈ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎಫೆಕ್ಟ್. ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಹೋಲ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಕಾಂಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ಆಸ್ ಯು ನೋ ಅಟ್ ದ ಎಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಿಫ್ತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಶುಕದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ all different hellish planets, and there is horrific descriptions of suffering imparted unto the sinful living entities. This material world, as Yamadutas proclaim, is a place for performing many kinds of multitudes of sinful activities. Given that, Yamadutas proclaim that one will end up in one or the other form of hellish situation. And when that becomes extreme, one is put into one of the hellish planets. Thus, Parikshit Maharaj, being a very compassionate Vaishnava, started to inquire to Shukadeva Goswami about atonement. Because the living entities in this material world they are in a very precarious condition. Anytime they can perform any sinful activities, and as a result, one may be placed in this hellish situation. So what are the possibilities of atonement? Thus, answer to this, Shukadeva Goswami started narrating different atonements. So he started with Karma Kanda. He explained, you can perform different ritualistic ceremonies, and by which one can contract for the sins, and by that one can avoid sinful life and one can avoid hellish punishments. When Parikshit Maharaj heard this, he was not satisfied with the answer. In one sense, Shukadeva Goswami perfectly knows what's the answer, but he didn't give away the answer so easily. Rather, he presented to solve the problem of hellish suffering, hellish punishment, one can adopt to karma kanda, karmic activities which are biased, through that one can counteract for those activities. By this statement, Shukadeva Goswami was testing his student disciple Maharaj Parikshit. So in response to that, as you know, Maharaj Parikshit didn't approve the answer, even though it came from his spiritual master. He questioned. He told that, I have seen people performing these kind of old prayaschittas, atonements, still after performing prayaschitta, their heart is not yet purified. So they tend to perform sinful activities again and again. So they may commit some sinful activities, then they may contract. After that, they will again commit sinful activities. So this method he didn't approve. So he says, Prayaschittam adho partham manye kunjara shaujava. Prayaschittam adho apartham. Apartham means it's useless. This prayaschittam as given by Karmakanda is simply useless. Just as kunjara shaujava. Kunjara means an elephant. If you have seen elephants, how many of you have seen elephants? Yes, you have seen. Have you seen elephants taking bath? It's very interesting. They go to the river or a big pond. They go, they take bath, and they are very happy to be in water. Especially, generally elephants are there in hot climate, tropical region. And elephants are very happy to enter into the water. They play with other elephants. They spend a lot of time in the water. They pump the water out using the trunk. So, they have a good time. And, you know, the color of the body of the elephant, it is pitch black. And in the water, it is really shining and they look very clean. However, when they come out of the water, what do? They go to the sand, they take the sand, they throw it all over their body. So you can see elephants again completely covered with sand. So Maharaj Parikshit just used this example to explain the mentality of Karmakandis who perform prayaschitta to get rid of all sinful reactions. They may remove the sinful reactions to some degree, it's not complete, it to some degree, but since there is no change in the mentality, they will do even more sinful activities. Sometimes Prabhupada criticizes this mentality among Vedic followers and also other religions. One may perform sinful activities, then go to the church, one may atone for that, and after that come back, again perform the sinful activities. So this is a typical Karmakanda mentality which is given in the Vedic literature. Srila Goswami understood the intelligence of his disciple and he explained something further. He said, okay, there is another process, which is jnana, which is the path of austerity and knowledge. So then he explains tapasa, brahmacharya, yamena cha, tamena cha. He gives the whole principles of austerities, starting from brahmacharya, and then he explains the process of knowledge. He explains, okay, by this one can purify oneself, because this is more deep, it is deeper than the karmic processes, because one is performing austerities, there is no question of again getting into sinful activities. It is quite powerful, it is deep. So one should be getting rid of all the sins and one can continue a good life after that. But Maharaj Parikshit didn't accept even that. He said, Venu Gurmam Ivanala. He gives the example of Venu Gurmam. Venu Gurmam means there can be a bamboo which is growing. Venu means bamboo. So you can see bamboo grows, but if there is a forest fire, the whole bamboo forest can be burned into ashes. So externally you will not see anything because of this forest fire, whole bamboo forest is now extinguished. But as time passes, then the forest fire goes away. Then slowly rain comes. And then eventually you can see that the greens are coming back, the sprouts are coming back, the shoots are coming back, and you can see the bamboo is again growing. Because the roots are not destroyed. So Parikshit Maharaj says that jnana process is like that. Externally everything looks good and one can be very detached, knowledgeable, etc. But there is no deep-rooted internal transformation of the heart. So these karmic tendencies can come out. It's just a matter of time. Since this answer was also not accepted by Parikshit, then Sukadeva Goswami gets into the real answer. He says, K केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेवपरायण अर्थं गृह्णन्ति कात्स्येन निहारमिव भास्कर. So now, Shukadeva Goswami gets the real point. What he really wanted to speak. He says, Kejit Kevalaya Bhaktiya. What kind of bhakti? Pure devotional service. Kevalaya Bhaktiya. We sing here, right? Kevala Bhakti Satma. So he's saying, Kevalaya Bhaktiya by unalloyed pure devotional service. Vasudeva Parayanaha, a devotee. Agham Dhunvanti. He gets rid of all the sins. He gets himself cleansed from all the sins. Agham Dhunvanti. Cleaning. How? Katsyena. Katsyena means to the root, not just superficial. Katsyena. Complete eradication of all sinful reactions. Niharamiva Bhaskara. Niharamiva Bhaskara. Just like the mist is completely evaporated when the bright sun comes out in the sky. In the same way, whatever sinful tendencies are there, whatever sinful reactions are there, everything is eradicated by Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktiya. So that ends that section. So it's concluded. Bhakti is a process that can get rid of all sinful reactions. After that, to establish this point, Shukadeva Goswami narrates a pastime took place years back. So Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years back. But Shivadeva Goswami says, this pastime took place even very, very long time in Kanyakubja. And then he narrates the pastime of Ajaga. So today I am not describing the whole Ajaga pastime, but I will tell some very important point. And after that, after presenting the pastime, after the conversation to the Yamadutas, etc., this verse comes in the third chapter. So the verses I have quoted so far, they are from the first chapter of 6th canto. So now here we are in the third chapter of the 6th canto. So now I will quote another verse, again glorifying the holy name, from the second chapter of the same canto, 6th canto. And this is also a very powerful verse, and that can go very well with this verse. So in the initial part of my lecture, I will present the glories of the holy name. And in the second part, how can we develop that? And before that, what is our struggle in chanting the holy name? So we will have the glories of the holy name, our struggles in developing that taste and the solution. So that's going to be today's presentation. So in the second chapter, verses 9 and 10, Shukadeva Goswami speaks. So 6 to 9 10. Tenasvirobi Mitra Dhru Brahmaha Guru Talpaga Sri Raja Pidur Gohanta Yeja Padatino Apare. Then he continues. Sarveshami Akhavatam Itam Eva Sunishkritam Nama Vyavaharanam Vishnu Yastat Vishayamani. It is such a beautiful verse. I will explain this verse a bit in detail. That will be one of the main content. To explain the verse given here. Why? Because here it is mentioned in this verse 31. It can uproot even the reactions of the greatest sin. So that's what is mentioned here. Even the greatest sinful reaction can be uprooted by chanting Krishna's name. Now I will read the translation of the verses. Now I read out. And there is a beautiful purport and further explanation by Acharya that summarizes the glories of the holy name in this canto. That's why I am using those two verses to explain 6.3.31. So the translation goes like this. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders woman, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Can you see, it is so relevant for this age of Kali. People are performing all different kinds of simple activities. We may have come to some simple activities. So what is the solution? So here it's mentioned, the greatest of the sin, amhasam mahatam. Mahatam amhasam. Greatest of the sins. And the chapter before illustrates what are those kinds of sins. So it is not just like just a simple sin, but even the grave sins. Then comes the very interesting, beautiful part. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord. Why it is working? Simply by chanting Krishna's name, one gets the attraction of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is interested, who is chanting my name? So it is mentioned, who therefore considers, who means the Lord therefore considers. So hear this very carefully. What the Lord considers when someone chants his name? That is mentioned in Sanskrit as yatastat vishyamati. So that is, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. Think what the Lord is thinking. Please try to understand what the Lord is thinking. Yatastat vishyamati. Because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. So this is the greatness of Krishna. It is the greatness of the holy name. And that's why it is even Mahatam Amhasamavi, it is Jagan Mangala. It is most purifying. Because the Lord is thinking in this way, if somebody is chanting Krishna's name. That is the heart of the Lord. Now, we will explain a little bit of Ajamil pastime. You all have heard about Ajamil pastime. So, we will analyze a few important and interesting points. So, here in this verse, it is mentioned, and other verses also I will quote, where it is mentioned that even by simply uttering Krishna's name, even one time, one can get rid of all sinful reactions. That is the benevolence of the Supreme Lord. Why? Tat Vishayamani. Because he thinks, this person has chanted my name. So it is my duty to give him protection. So this is the quality, the benevolence of Krishna. So in case of Ajamila, when Ajamila, when he chanted Narayana's name, certainly, all his sinful reactions must have vanquished just by chanting once. Now the question comes, it is mentioned that first chanting of the holy name can remove all the sins that have committed in the past, all the sins that one is committing now, and also all the sins one may commit in the future. This is the explanation given to this verse which I quoted just now. Past, present and future, whatever sins one may commit, everything will be eradicated by simply chanting the names of the Lord. Then naturally one question comes. When did Ajamil got purified? When did he chant first Narayana's name? Any guess? Maybe. But specifically, when did he chant Narayana's name first? He specifically chanted Narayana's name when he named his child. That's the time, because that's very natural. He has to chant because he gave the name to his child. So since he gave that name to his child, which happened in his old age, he was, you know, 80 plus, in the ripe and old age, he had his child. That is considered so sinful. Back, that's the time of retirement. And thinking about going back, come back to Godhead, that time he had a child and he was so attached. And that time he gave the name Narayana. So that time, his old sinful reactions, past, present and future, are being eradicated. And this can be very confusing. How is it possible? Because we can understand, okay, he name his child appropriately with the Lord names, then his sinful activities and conforming reaction would have vanquished till then, but he is again committing sinful activities. So to counteract those sinful activities, again he has a chance, indeed he did. Is that the way it works? So Vishwajit Thakur explains, no, if one thinks like that, that's not right. He says, even in the first chanting, all the sinful reactions are vanquished. One should understand in that way. Then he explains how it works. So he gives an amazing explanation. He explains that even though Ajamla named his son Narayan, and that time all the sinful reactions were vanquished, still we see that Ajamla didn't act as a pure devotee or as a sinless person. He was still committing sinful activities. And then later he called upon the Lord when he saw the Yamadutas. So he explains that. Point number one, why all the results were not manifested, even though he chanted the Lord's name. He explains that the name may show effect whenever the name wants. So the name, just like the Supreme Lord, has independence. So the name was chanted, Narayan name was chanted, but it's not that its effect has to happen as we desire immediately. It may not happen. So the name, the Nama Prabhu, has its own independence. So whenever he decides, the effects will come. Second reason he explained, the Nama Prabhu didn't want to discourage other shastras like Karmakanda. So if someone sees that by chanting Krishna's name immediately the effects are coming, then nobody will be interested in other parts of the scriptures. So he didn't want to, Nama Prabhu didn't want to discourage Karmakanda and other activities because they are all part of the Vedas. So the Lord's holy name didn't want to manifest the results immediately in the eyes of everyone. So just say that. Then it's explained that many times if such kind of immediate results come, even one can think that this is an exaggeration. So if someone says, okay, Ajamal named his child Narayan, immediately he became a pure devotee, or immediately he started chanting names with such a purity, he stopped all sinful activities. If one may hear this pastime, one may think it is simply an exaggeration. It is simply a hyperbole. So, to avoid such offenses from common people, everything took its own time. So, Ajamal had to go through this pastime, and at the end, he had to call out the Lord's name in desperation, even though he was calling his son. So, the Yamadutas came, they understood. Okay, we have to punish him. Then the Vishuddhas explained, he chanted the Lord's name. And the Yamadutas told, no, he chanted the Lord's name, but he called his child, not the Lord. So Vishuddhas said, first this name belongs to the Lord, then to his child. So first who will hear, first the Lord will hear. And that we can understand from this verse. What is that? Yes, tat vishayamati. This is what the Lord thinks. That's the benevolent heart of the Lord. That such a person has chanted my name, so it is my duty to protect him. So this is the consciousness of Krishna. In that way, he saved Ajamal. So there can be time lapse for the effect. So even in our chanting, there can be a time lapse. It may not happen immediately, but we have to be assured that it will work. So, we will discuss further the different degrees in which the holy name acts. So it's mentioned, Bhakti Devi can act immediately, even if somebody is performing offenses, but she waits and gives the mercy. So this is the pastime of Ajamal, where even in the first chanting itself, all the sinful proclivities, everything was actually removed in one sense. but that effect was not coming. It is in store, but that would manifest in later point in time. So we can understand the meaning of Jagan Mangalam, the most auspicious activity, the world's most auspicious activity in the entire universe, because it can purify to the core. Why is it so? As this verse quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatva Nama Namina. What are the qualities of the holy name? Nama Chintamani is transcendently blissful giver of all spiritual benedictions. Can give all spiritual benedictions. In other words, we all have desires, not talking about material desires, but even spiritually we have desire. We want to become a good devotee, we want to preach, we have to share this name, we have to help others, I want to chant properly. We may have so many spiritual desires in our heart. And a devotee should have spiritual desires. All these spiritual desires will come true by the mercy of the holy name. So it is Nama Chintamani. Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is a form of all transcendental mellow. The name can give all the rasa. The name can give all the mellows in bhakti. So where all these rasas are situated, how can you experience all these mellows? By chanting Krishna's name. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see the wonderful exchanges between the Lord and His devotees. We can hear the entire pastimes. All these things can manifest in our heart through the holy name. So one experience is hearing Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam. And the same experience we can get by chanting Krishna's name. So we will get this experience progressively as we chant Krishna's name. So that is, it is Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The Krishna is complete and he is the form of transcendental bliss. All mellows, Akhila Rasamrita Murti, and that is manifested as the holy name. And Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. Completely pure and it is completely perfect. Why? Abhinnatva. Because of no difference. Nama, namino. Nama means the name and namina means one who possesses that name. So we may have heard this many times, but try to assimilate this. Try to think about it. Whatever we hear about Krishna, name, form, qualities and pastimes, everything is present in the holy name. So this is the greatness of the holy name. Second point, there are thousands and thousands of Vedic literature. It's like an ocean, it's like a mine. But what is the fruit of all the Vedic literatures? We know the answer. What is the fruit of all Vedic literatures?
Chaitanya.
We come to that? Book. Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the first one we hear. So it is, we have heard that Nigama Kalpa Kataro Gelidam Bhalam Shukamukhan Amrita Drava Samyutam. So Nigama Kalpa Taru. So Nigama Kalpa Taru, the desert tree of Vedic literature is Gelidam Bhalam. The ripened fruit of Vedic literature is Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the next question can come. So what is the fruit of Srimad Bhagavatam? So we already have one fruit. So what is the fruit of Srimad Bhagavatam? So we can see even Srimad Bhagavatam as a tree or a creeper, but then what's the fruit of that? So there's a beautiful verse. Explains this from Padma Purana and widely quoted verse. Madhuram madhuram etan mangalam mangalana. Sakala Nigama Valli Sadhalam Chisurupam. So we will go to the second line first. Sakala Nigama Valli Sadhalam. What is that? Sakala Nigama Valli. Valli means the creeper. So Sakala, you take all the Vedic literatures, including Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is considered as a creeper. Nigama, sakala nigama valli, sadhalam, its fruits. Sadhalam, what is that? That is mentioned. Tathalam chiksurupam, sakradati parikidam shraddhaya helayava, bhrugvara naramatram tanaye Krishna nama. So what is that sadhalam? What is that fruit? That is Krishna nama. That is the holy name of the Lord. This is so amazing. So we can see the final conclusion of all Vedic literature is to chant Krishna's name. That is Santasma Sankirtanam Vishnu. That is the conclusion. So that's it. What is that? Sakala Nigama Valli Sathalam Chit Swarupam. Holy name is Chit Swarupam, as I explained before. Chit Swarupam is not a material form. The holy name has a form, and that is Chit Swarupam. It is spiritual form, Krishna's form. So it is Madhuram Madhuram. Madhuram Madhuram, it is sweeter than the sweetest. Mangalam Mangalana. So we can hear the same point here. Jagan Mangala. Mangalam Mangalana. We can pick all the auspicious things in this world, but even more auspicious is the holy name, because it's no different from Krishna Chit Swarupam. Then in this verse mentioned Sakritabhi Pradhiti Parigitam. Sakritabhi means just once. If one chants his holy name just once, Pari Shraddhaya Helayava. Shraddhaya with attention or Helaya without attention. Bhrugavara Naramatram Tare Krishnanama. Still, this holy name is going to deliver the living entity. So, this is the glories of the holy name. So, we need to meditate on this glories when we are chanting Krishna's name. We need to understand what is it. Sagala Nigama Valli Sathalam Chit Swarupam. So we need to meditate on this. We need to try to absorb this form. Then we take chanting seriously. We'll explain further. The same mood, Sanatana Goswami, in the beginning of Brihat Bhagavatamrita courses verse, Jayati Jayati Namananda Rupam Murare. He explained, this is Namananda Rupam Murare. Think about it. All glories to, all glories to this name of Krishna, which is Namananda Rupam, all blissful form of Krishna in the holy name. Namananda Rupam Murare. It is the all blissful form of Krishna, that is the holy name. And then Viramita Nija Dharma Jnana Pujadi Karma. So one can then retire from all other karma kandic, other activities, puja, dhyana, karma. One can get rid of everything. One can viramita, one can retire from all those activities. One is chanting Krishna's names. Then he says, kathapapi sagradatam muktidam praniyam yet. Again the same point. The scriptures are reiterating. Sagradapi, even once, if one utters his holy name, then he says, muktidam praniyam yet. This is the way we can give mukti, liberation to the living entities, praniyam yet. So, Sanatana Goswami have written a few hundred years back, but in the same time he says, if you want to deliver the world, we have to introduce chanting to others. It can be through preaching, it can be through Harinam Sankirtan, street we go, all this. Why? Because it can deliver the living entities. Muktidam praninam yet. Such an important verse. Then he shares his realization. Paramam amrtam ekam jivanam bhushanam me. He says, this is paramam amrtam. It is the greatest nectar. Ekam jivanam is my only life. Bhushanam me is my only wealth. So this is the realization of Sanatana Goswami. So we heard about the glories of the holy name. But what is our problem? We find it difficult to chant many times attentively. Many times we find it difficult to develop a taste to chant Krishna's names. So now we will discuss about the problems that we face in chanting Krishna's names. And how are we meant to chant? Here another word is used in this verse, because Tatma Sankirtan. Then another important point we need to focus on is Sankirtana. Sankirtana means congregational chanting. So congregational chanting is the process. So our individual chanting is there. Here the congregational chanting is also stressed. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj mentioned at one place that one's Siddha Swarup is revealed, or one's eternal identity is revealed during Sankirtan. When congregation chanting, one realizes one's identity. So the Sankirtan is very powerful. So we chant together, even japa, we do it nicely congregation. We sit together and chant. We'll discuss about that further. It has so much of potency. Now, what are we trying to achieve? So I will explain what is pure chanting in our capacity. Because many times when we hear about pure chanting, we understand it is way above, and we tend to disconnect from the whole definition of pure chanting, or even from the term pure chanting or sadhana. That's for pure devotees and we can't do it. So just chant however we can. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains what is the definition of pure chanting. Means how to come to the real chanting. That is the perfected chanting, pure chanting. To come to that, what kind of chanting is required? Okay, so we cannot chant premana that we don't have. We cannot chant premana. We cannot chant with love of Godhead because we are not yet there. But what can give us premana? What can give us that chanting? So in other words, what is that sudhanam now we can chant to get love of Godhead? So we need to understand what is that definition. So this I heard from Sachinandan Maharaj in his lecture. So he quoted from a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur under the direction of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami was a personal secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so which happened 500 years back, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived maybe 100 plus years back. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he appeared in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he asked him, "You write a book based on Bhagavatam, based on the three tattvas, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Based on this, you write a book based on Srimad Bhagavatam." So in that book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that if the sudhana that can actually give us love of Godhead is, one, avoid all the offenses. We'll discuss about that. That which is causing problems, avoid all those offenses. And then, of course, that includes attending, chanting, everything. You know, all the nama varadhas, one is avoiding all the jiva varadhas, all the seva varadha. And we'll discuss what are the other problems which are not giving us the real chanting. Avoid everything and then chant with sambandha jnana. Meaning, chant with connection to Krishna. It's a very important point. That when we are chanting, we are actually connecting to Krishna in our consciousness. So it is not a material chant or a mechanical chanting. Rather, one is absorbed in hearing Krishna's names with some favorable heart of connection. So that chanting, if we cultivate, that can eventually give us love of God. So we will discuss further on the same topic. So why can't we develop taste for chanting? Or we may have a little bit of taste, but still it's not deepening. It is nowhere close to that which is described in the Shastras or by the Acharyas. So it is mentioned, Jiva Goswami explains that if you continue abharat, then he explains there are five problems. Five effects he mentioned, which are not good. Okay. He says, if we continue abharats, then there are five problems. First, he says, one develops crookedness in performing devotion service. So one develops attraction for other things, one will be a crooked person. That's the first problem, if we continue our offenses. Second, one can develop faithlessness. We may have some faith that can deteriorate and one can even become faithless. It's actually a reality. Because if a devotee starts chanting and continues chanting for many years, but because of the offenses, if one doesn't develop taste for chanting, and the chanting is really bad, then what happens? One starts questioning the process. I'm chanting for so many years, still I have no taste. So the process is not working, so I'm leaving. Can you see that? So that's how one can develop faithlessness, by offensive chanting. So this is not just given for the sake of giving. These are experiences of devotees. Then one can develop attachment for things which can destroy faith in the Lord. Because one is not developing faith in the holy name, so one is not developing any taste. So other material things become very glittering and very attractive. So as one focus goes towards that, what happens? Our chanting goes lower and lower, and one can lose faith in the Lord Himself. Four, one can be quite slack in performing devotion service in general. So the inattentiveness in chanting, aparadhas in chanting can carry forward in other spectrum of devotional service. Then one can have false pride in advancement of devotional service. One may think, yeah, I am now advanced devotee, I am chanting for so many years. So that pride can come because one is not chanting properly. Because one chant properly means one will be naturally humble. So one is not really making any advancement. Years are passing by and one can think, now I am an advanced devotee, I am a senior devotee. Why? Because one has not really made advancement in chanting. See, so these are all connected. That's why in Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Goswami wants the devotees to avoid offenses, and if it doesn't, what are the consequences? So it presents very wonderfully, because these, we can see all these things are very connected. Even though Jiva Goswami presents as five different points, we can see how they are all linked to inattentive chanting, performing aparadhas. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur first further explains that what are the four reasons why we don't develop taste in chanting Krishna's name. So we know from the morning what we chant after the, or along with our aparadhas, we chant Bahujanma, Kareyati Shravanam Kirtana, Tabudana Paya Krishna Pale Premadhana. One can chant for millions of lifetimes, still one may not develop Premadhana. We can come back to the material world, we can come back to ISKCON, we can have khichdi, birth after birth. Morning go upstairs, we'll get khichdi, nice khichdi, we can have nice breakfast. Here we have prasadam, no problem, nice prasadam we are getting. We can have prasadam, we can keep going, but one may not develop love for the Lord. Why? Because of the aparadhas and other problems. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the four reasons. First one is Tattva Udhama, meaning not properly understanding philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We need to understand, say, now we are understanding Tattva, the glories of the Holy Name, this path of Tattva, this path of Sambandha Tattva. Similarly, understanding we are Krishna's servant, we have to serve Krishna, what are the qualities of Krishna, etc. These are all Sambandha Tattva. If we don't understand them, if we don't assimilate them, if we don't think, if it's not there in our mind, then our chanting will not be proper. So in short, if somebody doesn't have Sambandha Jnana, such chanting is generally offensive chanting. Somebody says, I don't want to read about Krishna, oh, I'm not interested in reading, I'll just chant. Generally, such chanting will be offensive chanting. So that is one, Tattva Udhama. Second one, or wrong understanding. You know, we are one with Krishna and in all this kind of, whatever wrong understanding. These are all part of Tattva Udhama. Second is Asat Krishna. Asat Krishna means petty attachment for material things. It's very easy to develop attachment for petty things, which are not very serious, but we see such things in other people, we contemplate dhyayatam nishyam kumsa, same process, then whichever is very irrelevant, very insignificant, we make it very significant. So this is another reason. So desire for material comforts and becoming very petty, attached for all those kind of things. I need a big car, big house, just unreasonable. They are very petty. If we desire like that, a part of our consciousness is dedicated for that. Then one will not be able to chant properly. So this is Asa Krishna. And third one is Hridaya Daurbalya. Weakness of heart. Weakness of heart is much deeper. We may avoid Asa Krishna, we may know Tattva, but still we have our subtle enemies. Envy, fault finding, desire for fame, pratishtha, all these things are very subtle. So it is deeper than Asa Krishna. It is deeper than, okay, I want a big house, I want a big car, I want this, I want that, okay. That is one level, but I need respect. This is very subtle and it is very deep, and that is considered very, very difficult to remove from the heart. So that is considered Hridaya Daurbalya, that is the weakness of the heart. This is the third reason why we find it difficult to develop pace for chanting, or our progression in this process is very slow, dampened. And the fourth one is aparadhas. So aparadhas means offenses. We chant every day, nama aparadha, we have to avoid them. Jiva aparadhas, offense to any living entities. Seva aparadhas, committing offenses while worshipping the Lord. So you need to avoid all these offenses. If not, this will all impact in the progressive chanting in a negative way. So this is the problem. So now finally I will explain the most important aspect of aparadha. So that is called pramada or inattention. Pramada literally means madness. However, it's explained that this inattention is the gateway to all other offenses. So if you want to stop aparadhas, first stop inattentive chanting. It is considered just like if there is a big room and we are sitting here and all the negativity is coming to us. There is a door and all these negativities are coming to us. We can stop everything if we close the door. Just like the room is very cold. So if we close the door, then we can have some warmth. We turn on the heater and wide open all the doors and all the windows, then the room is not going to heat up. Similarly, we may chant, just like heating the room. But if we open all the doors, then the cold air is going to come. Similarly, if we shut this inattentiveness, this door of inattentiveness, then we can avoid other offenses and we can make progress in chanting. So it is considered very important. And this offenses are classified into three. So this, if you work on them, then we can develop taste. So we will discuss that. What are these inattentiveness and how can we avoid them? First one is indifference. Audacity, indifference. What is indifference? We know what is indifference. We may be chanting, we are not really attentive. The mouth is moving, the sound is coming, but we are not hearing. So we are very casual about chanting. We are very indifferent to chanting. We know that we are chanting, but our only interest is the counter beats down one by one. And some sound is coming, everyone is approving that I am chanting 16 rounds. It is going on. It's like parallel tracks, you know. Chanting is going in one direction, I am doing some service, that is going in another direction. Can you see? So this is indifferent to the holy name. So indifference is really a problem while chanting. I will tell the solution to that now, and after that we will summarize all the solutions. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura explained the solution. First is association with the devotees who are chanting properly, who are advanced and who are not indifferent while chanting. Sit with them and chant. And it's very practical. I can explain in my own situation. Second, it's also connected. Chant in a situation which is conducive for this. Where you should feel like chanting. Conducive for chanting. And third is, okay, our first two, how can we practically apply in our lives? Probably not at this point. For us, just come to the temple room and chant, or go to Srila Prabhupada's room and chant with other devotees. We see other devotees seriously chanting. So even if we want to be indifferent, we look at them and we see, oh, these people are chanting quite seriously. And if you are always looking here and there, some devotees will tell you, okay, chant properly. Even Prabhupada said, you can hear, sit properly, you know. So Prabhupada, someone can correct. So the association is so important, and this is the most conducive place for chanting Krishna's names. Simple. Tulsi Maharani is there, Srila Prabhupada is there, all devotees are there, and so many 40 years, or more than 40 years, hearing and chanting is going on continuously in this room. So what is a better place than this room to chant Krishna's names? Can you see? So chant in a proper place with devotees. And third, don't allow the eyes to wander. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are looking everywhere. It's called radar chanting. You know, radar is catch things, you know, what is happening. Similarly, don't do radar chanting. Looking here and there all the time. So when you look at things, naturally the impressions are coming to the mind, and then you have to deal with that. And when you have to deal with that, there is inattention. So saying, you know, don't do that. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even use the example of one can cover the head with a cloth. Don't do that, but then you will go sleep. You know, cover. He says, you know, cover the head like this while chanting with the cloth, and you can chant. But at least close the eyes. That we can do. Right? We can at least close the eyes as a step. You practice closing the eyes and chanting, so you don't need to see everything what's going on. Just try to hear the holy name. So this is a very practical solution. Chant with the devotion. That's what we are trying to do. It's our experience. I'll explain the next part comes, and I'll explain my experience. Okay, so the next one is very important. It's called laziness. Jadya. Laziness. Second problem of inattention, or second kind of inattention, is laziness. Laziness means one is not really, one doesn't have, you know, no interest. It's not just disinterest. One really doesn't want to chant properly. As simple as that. Everything is there. We know philosophy, we know everything. Still, so lazy to put an effort to hear the holy name. Just laziness. And part of laziness is also sleepiness. When you take the chanting beads, it's a good time to sleep. Some people have big chadar. Why? Cover the chadar nicely, even in the temple room. What is the whole purpose? Then you can doze off without anyone else noticing. You know? So that is laziness. I remember when I started chanting, when I started coming to the Mangalari, and when I started chanting, I used to sit that corner. Let me sit there, underneath that Vishwaroop painting. That time some other painting was there. But I used to think, after, this is the first time I'm getting up so early in the morning, so I was quite tired. After 6 o'clock, 6:15, I understand, I'm chanting. 6:15, I look at the watch, then I open my eyes, it's already 7 o'clock. I was thinking, how am I chanting, some absorbed chanting, or what's really going on? Later, I realized that half an hour, 40 minutes, I was sleeping. Fully absorbed sleeping. This was my chanting when I started chanting here in the temple room. So, first of all, I'm not used to the situation. So, after some time, completely in some other world. So, just sleeping. So, this is part of laziness. And here, to avoid laziness, one solution is the chant with the devotees. Same solution. Chant with the devotees. Then you can get rid of laziness. Yeah. At home, whole family sit together and chant in front of the altar. In a nice place where Bhagavatam is there, where altar is there, sit, or Tulasi Maharani may be there. Sit with the family and chant. There is devotee association if you can come to the temple. And at the same time, you chant at the same time, 5 to 7 or 5:30 to 7:30, whatever time, same time you chant all the rounds, that is very, very helpful. And final one is vikshepa. Vikshepa means distraction. Distraction means one is distracted by all different kinds of things. While chanting, okay, one is making to-do list. I had to buy this, I had to buy the other thing, I had to buy the other thing. Start thinking about, okay, yesterday what happened, tomorrow what am I going to do? I had to get this, I had to do that. These are all vikshepa or distraction. So this is also part of the inattention. These are also causing inattention. So it is mentioned If Vrikshabha is also very powerful. To avoid that, it's mentioned if Ekadashi, take it seriously. Chant properly, chant extra rounds. Perform some austerity on Ekadashi and festival days. Observe in the festival days as much as possible. Unfortunately, we couldn't have any festival days now. But even at home, if the festival day, Janmashtami, there are many devotees who cook 64 items for the Lord at home on Janmashtami day. This is performing festival days and getting absorbed in the festival days. Or chanting so many extra rounds during the festival days. We come to the temple completely active in service on a festival day. These are special days. These absorptions can remove Vikshepa or distraction. Can you see? So by this it's mentioned one will gradually develop pace for chanting. Then also perform devotion service during festival days and also listen to scriptures. If you make this active part of our routine, then it's mentioned one can gradually develop taste for the holy name. So in conclusion, how can we develop the holy name? Practical steps: chant in association with the devotees in a sheltered place. Can be temple room or dham, and close your eyes if possible, and follow Ekadashi strictly, and observe festival days with lot of service, more hearing, chanting, etc. And with this, continue the life, and then we see that we develop more taste for chanting. And if still not working, increase the number of rounds. Chant some extra rounds. But apply all these principles. In that way, we can develop taste to chant Krishna's name. Then we can actually experience that which is given in this verse and the purport. So in conclusion, today I spoke about how the holy name is Jagan Mangala. It is the most auspicious activity because Krishna's name is no different from the Lord Himself. Then we heard what the Lord thinks when somebody chants Krishna's name. Yattat Vishayamati. The Lord is thinking, such and such person has chanted my name, so it is my duty to protect him. So we should feel very grateful to the holy name and Krishna. So in that mood, we need to chant Krishna's name. So to come to love of God, that is a very exalted platform. The chanting that is expected is avoiding all the offenses, distraction, etc. as I mentioned. And chant with connection to the Supreme Lord. And it is possible. That is within our reach. I'm not talking about love of God. That is very far. But this kind of chanting is within our reach. So we need to try our best. And for that, there are different ingredients. Chant in the association of the devotees at the proper place. Close your eyes. And keep chanting, basically. And observe the festivals. And engage in service. In that way, gradually one can develop taste to chant the holy name. With this, I stop and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes.
Do you know the... Do you know...
We can see, sorry.
The... there are... the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, the chanting of Ram and Narayan, they have different, you know, that how many times and what kind of result, and like chanting Krishna is the ultimate, what percentage, and to make, to clarify that chanting Hare Krishna is the highest, and then chanting Narayan, like you were talking about Ajami, and then there's what percentage of chanting are wrong to make the point clear that Lord chant condition is highest. There is a
yes. So usually people tend to chant Vishnu's names. Vishnu. Thousand names of Vishnu. It's called Vishnu Sahasranama. So before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was chanting Vishnu Sahasranama. Thousand names of Vishnu every day. So I was thinking, okay, that's the best. So I used to chant that too, you know. I used to memorize the whole thing. So I like parrot like I can chant the whole thing in 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you know. I used to chant that. So in the invocation to Vishnu Sahasranama, there is a verse, Ishara Uvacha. Rama 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 Iti രമേ രാമേ മനോരമേ സഹസ്രനാമ തത്തുല്യം രാമനാമം വരാനനെ. So Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, O Varanane, Rama Rama Rameti, I chant the names of Lord Rama. Rama Rama Rameti, Rame Rame Manorame. Why? Because Sahasranama Tattulyam, Rama Namam Varanane. So he says that 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Rama. So he says, okay, I chant Lord Rama's name. Then in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very wonderful verse where also it's mentioned that 3 times if you chant Lord Ram's name, that is equivalent to 1 time chanting Krishna's name. So, 1 time if you chant Krishna, that is equivalent to 3,000 names of Vishnu. So, in that way we can see it is very important chanting of Krishna's name. So this verse you can see in the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Triavartyati yadphalam. 3 times if one chants Ram's name, that is equivalent to 1 time we chant Krishna's name.
I also wanted to know that.
Yeah. Yes, that's very important. Any other question, any comment? Yes.
It's a request regarding to the at the beginning you mentioned that it's important to when we start chanting to have that discernment again.
Yes.
So why actually would be that that process of over time of knowledge, or because to my understanding, raising your presentation is acknowledging that during the entire is that when we will start chanting, it's like starting a relationship with the name, with the holy name. Be aware of that. So I'm just trying to understand what did you mean exactly with Sandhana again when we start chanting?
Our connection. Our connection to Krishna.
Yeah.
When we are chanting Krishna's name,
yeah,
when we are chanting Krishna's name, we are, what is the mood of chanting Krishna's name? Srila Prabhupada explains, right? The mood is just like a baby crying out for the mother. Well, what does that mean? There is a connection. There is a strong connection for the baby for the mother. And there is a mood, there is an inner desire to be helped by the mother. Similarly, that kind of a desire, that kind of a connection is expected from the chanter unto the Supreme Lord. Then it will be effective. So, part of that Santamdhyana is, so this Krishna's names are so wonderful. One is feeling. These names are so wonderful, so amazing. Everything about Krishna is in this holy name, and I am trying to chant, I am trying to glorify the holy name, I am trying to take this holy name on my tongue. And as mentioned, Prabhupada in 12th chapter, one of the purports, when you chant Krishna's name, Prabhupada writes, Krishna and his internal potency are dancing on the tongue. Vairatha and Krishna are dancing. So when we connect to this knowledge, it's very powerful. And if we have that in the back of our mind, it's not that we are just thinking and we are not hearing. But when this mood is there in the background, that chanting is very powerful. So it can be many other, that Samadhyan is not just one thing. It can be, you know, ocean. There's an ocean of Samadhyan for us. That is Bhagavata. But if that is touching our heart, and when we chant, then it is effective.
Another aspect also you mentioned that the holy name, we receive the revelation of our Swarup by chanting.
Mm.
I'm just wondering what about if by chanting the holy name itself reveals Swarup to us, is that?
Yes, yes, that was the response of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji to Siddha Pranadi performed by unqualified people. So in Siddha Pranadi, those are unqualified, they think about I am such and such person in the spiritual world, and they start acting and dressing and meditating on that form. So Prabhupada criticizes such kind of Siddha Pranali by unqualified people, and that is not our line. Thus, Gaurakishore Das Babaji told that the Ekadasha Anga, different features of the Siddha Roop, will be revealed from the 16 names, the 16 words in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be revealed. So that is one point. Second point, what I meant is, of course, we don't just chant, of course, we are engaged in devotional service and we read Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So the experience of everything, the sum and substance of our consciousness, we can see when we are chanting Krishna's name. What attraction we have for Krishna, even a little bit bigger or nothing, but everything is reflected in the heart when we chant the holy name, because Krishna is present in our heart. Krishna in the form of the holy name is coming to us. Then what we feel, that is a reality in front of us. So that's our realization of our own spiritual progress. Yeah.
I just want to say something.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen, I've been in a Hare Krishna movement for 4 years or so. I've seen, people come and go. And actually, we all talk about developing taste for chanting. And I mean, we need to also talk about, like, practicality. And even we have many devotees in our society, like Jayananda Prabhu. He was so observant in service. He was building the Radha Yatrakat. At some time, he was sleeping in Bhagavatam class while Prabhupada was speaking. And, you know, it's very offensive to your spiritual master talking. And Prabhupada said, hey, let him sleep. That's a nasty little book on him. He said, let him sleep because he's doing so much service. All of you put together, sannyasis, he's doing more service than all of you. So, it's the reason, also the reason why we don't have taste for chanting. We also have a taste for consumers.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to see all compasses all around, not just attraction to one thing. Like you said, you know, devotional service is doing the puja and everything. And then sometimes we are chanting, we are falling asleep because we don't have attraction for service. Everything has to be perfect. So chanting, the taste for chanting doesn't come because we don't have attraction for service. And then we want to give big talks about when it's time to do some talk, we come. You know, like on a proper festival day, we turn up to give a talk on Prabhupada. But if we really love for Prabhupada, really love Krishna, we possess the devotees. You know, this is the ultimate purpose of our chanting, is I chant Hare Krishna, so I can do service. Hare Krishna,
yes.
You gave me service. And then this definition there actually so much. The chanting Hare Krishna means you gave me a service. And I have a problem chanting. And then when you're doing service, I have a time for it. So you haven't actually understood the purpose of chanting. This is actually a very important point.
Yes.
You know, in our movement, in the early days, like when Prabhupada was here, people were just so busy serving because it's urgent to strike the movement. Our movement is small. And Prabhupada was sending people to have any idea of chanting. And so in essence, and there's so many stories, they have no, I mean, offense or whatever, but they have so much love for serving Prabhupada and spreading the Hare Krishna movement that they were, when they chant Hare Krishna, they were in ecstasy because they had love for Guru, they had love for Krishna. It's Hare Krishna, otherwise. They chant Hare Krishna, it's a show. And chanting with such melody and harmony and all these things, you know, it becomes a fashion, you know. And then you come and do your chanting and you go home and you come back with the next festival. But actually, if you really love Krishna, you do services. Because chanting Hare Krishna is connected to service, I believe.
100%.
Yeah. I just wanted to emphasize that.
I just want to add one point to it. One time, I really like this answer. Shivaram Maharaj was asked this question. how can I tell a pace for chanting? So this is a very important point. He said the 2 hours of your chanting is dependent on what you do rest 22 hours.
Exactly.
if we do everything and completely inattentive to the whole thing, and we pick the beat, and now I won't be attentive, how is it going to work? Yeah. So it's a very, very nice one. Thank you.
And another thing is, especially here in Melbourne Temple, we have a big community of devotees. When it boils down to, the temple service and the puja, there's a lot of temple service here, cooking and so much puja. It boils down to a handful of devotees, actually. But if, that's why I was living in Temple of Dhyananda Prabhu, and we had ashram here, and we had a handful of devotees who were in ashram, the same people. And they do a lot of service. I'm not just saying it's true. And you guys, when they go and cross place, come back, and exhausted. It's so, and then you come for the forum. So, when you do service, automatically you chant Hare Krishna, you can develop the taste for it. So, I love it. But, Prabhupada has this Srikrishna Mahaprabhu, it's a place of service. It's not we go there and then sit down and do bhajan kutir. It's a place, it's a vibrant devotional service. It's a Christian center, a big, massive Christian center. And devotees are engaged in all kinds of services, Christian activities. That's our home. That is Chanyarajan service. So it's a very important point. So you're not simply chanting and then go to sleep after.
Thank you. Gajashiva Bhagavatam Ki Jai Jai Gopi.